In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
He was a small town boy called to be a prophet. He was the fourth of the great 8th century prophets. In the list of Amos, Hosea, and Isaiah, he is sometimes considered to be the neglected prophet. Yet his message, preached to the large cities of Samaria and Jerusalem, and also to a number of small cities in Judah, is not a message to be neglected. Rather, it is a word to be heard, a word of weal and woe, a word of law and gospel, and especially here, in these words just read, a glorious doxology about the compassion of our Lord for another generation afflicted by the sin of the first. His name was Micah. His name is a play on the word Micaiah, with which this doxology begins. Who is like Yahweh? Who is like the Lord? These final verses from his inspired prophetic preaching and pen prompt us to confess with Moses, there is no other. Acknowledge and take to heart this day that the Lord is God in heaven above and on earth below. There is no other. Keep his decrees and commands which I am giving you today, so that it may go well with you and your children after you, and that you may live long in the land that the Lord gives you for all time. Yet, the days of living in the land that the Lord had given them was ending for this generation to whom Micah was called to preach. Under King Uzziah, Judah had enjoyed a prosperity she had not known since the days of King Solomon. But as so often happens during the days of Uzziah's son, Jotham, this newly found wealth brought with it social evils and spiritual poverty. It produced the extremes of a greedy wealthy class and a victimized poor class. Riches, luxury, and vice dwelt side by side with poverty, misery, and squalor. Conditions became so bad that there existed little mutual trust among family, neighbors, and friends. These social evils were symptomatic of the spiritual poverty of Judah. Even the clergy joined the races for riches, as priests and prophets served only for hire. Idolatry became widespread, even among people God had chosen for his own. For many people, worship had become mere formality, an outward observance of ritual and sacrifice considered to sufficient to ensure God's favor, even if the worshiper's heart was far, far away from him. Yet, God knows the heart, and he requires that you have no other gods before him. Idolatry destroys. Micah was a prophet of that judgment of the Lord. He predicted the Assyrian captivity for Israel. He predicted the exile in Babylon for Judah, and ultimately the return for Judah, the bearer of the Messianic prophet. By the end of his ministry, the northern kingdom had gone, and the southern kingdom was going. And God knows our hearts. Cookbook camp meetings and revivals of a century ago were recipes for decision toward this God who is like no other. Our forebears of an earlier generation fled Germany rather than being forced to dilute the Lutheran doctrines that confess so clearly this God who is like no other. Yet our land today is filled with spiritual seekers who have found a new generation of spiritual chefs to tickle their taste buds, cooking up a stew of East and West, brewing a God of their own, leaving little room for Micah's God, a God like no other. In a land where all gods are seen to be equal on the stage, is there room for a God who is like no other? To publicly carry out the religious ceremonies, as was done in Micah's day, but privately seek to gain money and influence is to pervert the faith, even as it had been in his day. Repent, turn away from the temptation to put power, prestige, position, or prosperity before the proclamation of the God who is like no other. Turn to the God who is like no other, for he is slow to anger and quick to show mercy. Our sins are our offenses against God's holy will. Our transgressions are our stubborn rebelliousness and perverseness before God. It makes no difference what they are or how many they are. Micah goes on to say that God forgives them all. He removes them from us and places them on his Son who carried them to the cross. The result in Micah's wonderful picture language is this. God treads our sins underfoot so that they are dead and no longer rise to haunt us. He hurls them into the depths of the sea where they can never be found again or remembered. Complete forgiveness in Christ is God's gift to us because of his undeserved love and pity for us wretched sinners. Though angry because of our sins, he does not stay angry forever because Jesus permitted God's wrath over our sins to strike him instead of us. The Lord promised his Old Testament patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that through one of their descendants, he would bless all the nations of the earth. In mercy, he kept that promise by offering salvation to all nations through his Son, Jesus Christ. He continues to keep that promise daily by adding to the New Testament church those who are being saved around the world. And it's on this high note of gospel joy that Micah brings to a completion his remarkable prophecy. Remarkable? Yes. For you see, Micah was the 8th century prophet who announced that the God who is like no other would be born in the littlest of places, Bethlehem of Judea. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old. Ultimately, you see, Micah was the prophet of the Lord's judgment and of his salvation. His message is even though Israel and Judah have gone to pieces, Christ will yet come again and make all things new. Who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgressions of the remnant of his inheritance? You, brothers, will announce this God who is like no other to this generation of spiritual seekers, a generation seeking to have the pieces of their lives put back together. You will announce to this God to a generation struggling to remain faithful in an increasingly hostile culture. You will be for your people the shepherd of whom the hymnist wrote in the third stanza that we just sung. O faithful love that shepherded us through faithless years, forgiving love that led us to your truth, unyielding love that would not let us turn from you, but sendeth forth to speak pardon and peace. Moses preached, who among the gods is like you, O Lord? Who is like you? Majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders. Micah preached, who is a God like you, who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. You will again have compassion on us, and you will tread our sins underfoot and hurl our iniquities into the depths of the sea. You will be true to Jacob and show mercy to Abraham, as you pledged an oath to our fathers in days long ago. And we preach, and you will preach, that salvation is found in no one else, for there is no name, other name, under heaven given to men, by which we must be saved. In the name of a God who is like no other, Jesus.